welcome to the Fertility Conversations podcast. The goal of this podcast is to create more awareness about infertility and to provide support to people trying to conceive. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be encouraged. And now, here is your host, Ola.
Welcome to episode 3. Today I have with me a lovely guest, Toyin Lolu Ogumade. She's the author of Mom at Last, a book detailing her experience with fibroids and infertility and becoming a mom through surrogacy. She'll be sharing her experience with us today, and she'll also talk about our agency, Precious Conceptions. Toyin is married and lives here in Nigeria. Her book, Mom at Last, is currently available for purchase through our agency. You can connect with her on Instagram at Toyin Lolu Ogumade, that's spelled TOYINLOLUOGUNMADE. I would also put her details on the summary of this podcast so you can reach her as well. So welcome, Toyin, and thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you, Ola, for having me.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. So to start off, please tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Okay, I like to read.
Wonderful.
I like to watch movies, short movies, not long ones, serials. If you put me in front of a very long movie, I will sleep off and wake up like 3 times.
Understandable.
I can only take like 30, 40 minutes at a stretch.
Okay. Yeah, like the movies that get straight to the point and then it's over.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I read books, I write. I like to write. I like to sing. I like to bake. I like to dance.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of creative arts.
That's wonderful. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I do for fun. Yeah.
That sounds exciting, yeah. So today, we wanted to speak to you, of course, about your story. And I know that you've written a book, like I said earlier, Mom at Last. And the book mentions your experience with fibroids. So can you speak a little bit about that and the impact it had on your fertility?
Okay, so I call fibroids those evil monsters because they mess up everything and everywhere. Fibroids in themselves do not hinder your ability to conceive, except where they are occluding or blocking the path of conception. So what I mean by that is if they're not in any way along the channels where the sperm flows through, they are not in any way hindering. Also, if they are not jutting into your endometrial layer and taking up space in there, you can still get pregnant and have your baby. So it's just that they get big, and sometimes they get very messy. That your when you have your cycle, you bleed excessively and the pain and all that. So in my own case, I was diagnosed with fibroids a year after my marriage, and the doctor be able to get pregnant, he said we should do a scan. We ran a scan. I thought, okay, 4, and they're not looking too many. And the doctor was like, the position is okay. It's not in any way disturbing pregnancy, but the bleeding continued for years, and I wasn't getting pregnant. So when the blood loss was too much for me and it was too excessive, I decided I was going to take them out. And I went in for surgery. And rather than the 4 we saw on the scan, there were 22 fibroid tumors that And recovering from that surgery was hell. Immediately I woke up, I knew something had gone wrong. And the only way I could explain that is that I used to call myself a warm-blooded animal because I used to get hot so easily. I would keep sweating, even in AC. And all of a sudden I found myself shivering and I couldn't put on the fan.
And I was covering my body. And immediately I knew something was wrong with me, but I didn't understand what. And I was still in the hospital. And, you know, I kept saying something is wrong with me. Something is wrong with me. But nobody understood. So I was right. I was in 7 days after the surgery. I spent 16 days in the hospital trying to get well. And then after that, 6 weeks after the surgery, I realized that I was discharging. So you know when you have a wound and you know that plasma, that fluid that comes out of a wound when you have a sore on your leg or on your after the blood, after this, So I started having that fluid discharge. I started having that discharge coming out, and I was like, "What is going on here? Do I still have sores inside?" So I kept going back to the hospital. They will do a culture, and they will say, "Oh, you have an infection, this infection, that." And it never occurred to anyone to take me back to the theater to investigate what was going on in my uterus.
Yeah.
It never occurred to anyone. And that was the number one mistake I made. I didn't see a fertility specialist. I kept going back to a general practitioner.
All right.
Okay. So the number one advice I would give is when you're having challenges getting pregnant, go and see a fertility specialist.
Right.
Who will check and say, okay, what could be the issue? So I was on this. I wear sanitary towels every day, you know. It was really bad. And I kept going in and out, taking medication, using antibiotics. It just didn't go, okay? So there was a day my pastor said, if you need pray, you know, we want to pray about. And I ran out and I stood in a prayer line. And he prayed with me. The entire church prayed with me. And that was how I was healed from that discharge. It dried off. So by the second or third day, I realized it had dried up completely, and I wasn't discharging anymore. And I was like, "Wow, amazing!" So now let's get pregnant now. You know, if that one can go, and it didn't happen. And this was 7 years, and this was 7 years into my marriage. This was 6-7 years into my marriage. So because I had the fibroid surgery, yes, I was 6-7 years into my marriage. And then it didn't happen again. So by 2009, the surgery was in 2006. By 2009, we had started talking seriously with a fertility specialist in India via email.
Okay.
So my doctor here, family GP here, had recommended IVF.
Okay.
And he said we should try India. That he had met a fantastic doctor in India.
Right.
And it would take us there. So but I didn't want to go. India was looking too far away. I didn't want to go. So we started corresponding with the doctor on email, through email, and he said I should run some tests. And then a friend of mine also introduced me to a gynecologist who said I should run similar tests. So I decided, okay, I will run one test and share with both doctors. And that was what I did.
Right.
And the doctor in Nigeria now said that when he saw the reports, it was like, wow, you've got serious additions. And that was the first time I would hear additions. And I was like, what is addition? And he told me that as a result of the surgery I had, because that was the only reasonable thing to link it to,
right,
that there was a lot of scarring in my uterus and there was a lot of damage and he will need to repair with a surgery. So I had a complication through a surgery and I have to go back to the theater to try
again. Yeah.
So I went back there. I was so afraid.
Of course, because you know, especially after what happened the first time.
Oh my goodness. I was too, my heart was in my throat that day. I can remember clearly. It was April of 2009.
So I went in and I came out of the theater, and he was, okay, go on this medication, go on that medication, we'll see. And then 6 weeks down the line, he told me the procedure had failed. It didn't achieve.
Oh, wow.
It didn't achieve the results he
wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had to put me, he now passed me on to another specialist.
In Nigeria as well?
Nigeria, okay. Yes, that I should go in for a laparoscopy. And I went to the hospital, and the doctor said, okay, he'll do a hysteroscopy. A hysteroscopy is when instruments are passed through your private parts to view the uterus and then to make surgical repairs.
If needed, right.
So rather than cutting open. So
right.
So I did that again. It didn't work. And after that didn't work, same 2009, after that didn't work, the doctor now said the only hope I have is surrogacy, that the damage was too extensive, there was nothing else it could do.
Wow.
And I was surrogacy in 2009. Where will I get of course, the surrogacy from?
Nobody, did people even talk about that then? Like, I mean, even like, now.
Who does that in Nigeria?
Exactly.
He said, go and get a surrogate. I said, surrogate, walking on the streets of Lagos or growing on trees.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And so that was how this surrogacy thing happened. I was hoping and praying and trusting and believing I'll be able to get pregnant by myself.
By yourself.
But the doctor said, no way on earth will this happen. Go and get a surrogate. So I emailed all my reports to India, and the India doctor said, Toyin, don't go in for another surgery. Let's get you a surrogate mother and come over to India. But at the back of my mind, I was hoping that going to India will not
fix things or something. Exactly that. Maybe they'll find another option.
And maybe they'll find another. So India was appealing to me.
Right.
And so we up and went to India in March of 2010. And on getting there, the doctor ran his test again, and he said, no way on earth can this work. It's a surrogate mother. The uterus is completely damaged. There's nothing I can do with it. When you're face to face with a... When the Indian doctor made that statement, I felt like a part of me had died. It was a fatality for me, you know, because here is a vital organ in my body.
Yes.
And I felt it was what defined me as a woman. And here, 2-3 doctors have told me point blank that it's completely useless. So I was like, what on earth am I a woman for if I can't even get this done?
Mm-hmm.
And I now need help to do this. I was angry,
of course.
I was sad, I was traumatized, I was going crazy. Certainly, yeah. And
yes.
And the doctor was like, look, surrogacy is the only option you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in India, so I was I had another dilemma. Will my children look like Indians?
Yeah, because you start to wonder, right, what exactly, especially back then when you're not really familiar with what it is.
Exactly. There was little or no information on surrogacy, and most of the surrogacy information back then was on traditional surrogacy,
right,
where the surrogate mothers are also the genetic mothers,
they right,
their own
yeah.
eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, India, I will have Indian baby.
And then everybody, people then wonder what exactly happened and what to do.
Happened yeah. and all of that. So it was a tough time, and the doctor had to assure me, no, it's gestational. We'll take your eggs from you, we'll take sperm from your husband. The surrogate is just a post, blah, 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 blah. And I have to go through all that counseling and persuasion and mind shifts and all of that. Until I said, okay, fine, let's do this. So we agreed we were going to do surrogacy. We agreed we were going to go for one more surgery.
Okay.
To see if there could be a repair.
If there was any chance and to carry the baby
if there
to
was
yourself.
Any chance
right.
at all ever on this earth.
Right.
And
And that was what we did. We went in for the first surrogacy cycle. It didn't work. It failed completely. And then I went back to the theater for a 4.5 hour surgery.
Oh, my.
And it failed. It didn't work. So immediately I woke up, the doctor told me it didn't work. It failed. And I should take my mind off it completely. So right. I had to face surrogacy squarely. Mm-hmm. And the second one failed as well. The second cycle
Of a surrogate?
Yes. Okay. Another surrogate mother, another fresh cycle. Wow. And at that point, I was like, what's going on? Uterus?
Exactly, yeah.
The eggs, because my eggs were, I would develop plenty eggs and only 2 or 3 will mature. And so, wow. And so the doctor had to sit me down and say, Tony, you are behaving like a PCOS. And I was like, what is PCOS again? As if.
Oh, wow. That's like there's not enough already. Yeah. Like how many things?
Like how many things? Me alone. And so I had to now understand what PCOS was and learn how to reverse it. So that was the number one. That was the major work. That was the major work I had on my hands.
Right.
Reversing the PCOS and ensuring that my husband's sperm was optimal.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of fertility, and then getting the right surrogate. So we started with nothing, absolutely nothing. And during that time, I now decided I was going to do what I do now. So I started training as a fertility counselor
in India.
And a family, yes,
oh, wow,
in the same establishment, yes.
Oh, okay.
So I started my training, and it was that was where I learned the ABCs of fertility management and what I do now. The
complete
understanding the processes, the screenings, and all of that. Witnessing surgeries. Talking to intending parents, screening surrogates. That was where I learned everything I'm doing now.
Okay.
So I decided I was going to make good use of my time and and go to school and learn and find solution for myself. So a lot of the things I teach now were developed way back then. So I have a framework. I have a framework I teach now.
Okay.
That is built on that experience, and that is teaching people how to identify, improve, and maximize their conception chances. So
right.
I take people through that a lot. So I had to learn it for myself, and I had to reverse the PCOS holistically, and then go for a third IVF. So it took me 9 months in between to reverse the PCOS.
Right.
Watching my diet, cutting down my weight, augmenting with my diet, taking medication, vitamin supplements, herbal, Indian herbal medicines.
Right.
And then just to augment my nutritional intake. And then I went in for the third cycle, and it was bang on the money. And so my eggs had improved tremendously, the PCOS reversed.
Okay.
So we had gone from 23 with 2-3 mature eggs to 17 eggs with 11 perfect embryos.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I still have embryos in storage.
In India?
Embryos in storage.
That's amazing.
So we got 11 beautiful embryos. 4 were transferred. All the 4 came alive. We had a quadruplet pregnancy, and we began the journey. The surrogate stayed in the hospital all through.
Really?
So she's just a fantastic, fantastic family. I tell you, we are still in touch.
Oh, that's beautiful.
On Mother's Day, my children spoke with her. They said hello to her because they know how they were born.
Born? Why? Oh, wow.
Yes, they know. So
that's
so
beautiful.
We went through all of that, and then 8 months after, Pooja gave birth to my twins. We lost two along the way during the pregnancy.
Sorry to hear that, right?
Thank you. But we had the girl and the boy, and they are 8 years old now.
Oh my! Can you imagine? Jeez! Congratulations! That's beautiful. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. Wow!
Thank you. And they look exactly like me, and I can breastfeed. I could breastfeed. Yes. So
was that because was there something done for each people to do that, or how?
Okay. Yes. There's lactation stimulation, and it's a combination of medicine and injections and pumping, and all of that. Yeah. So I went through all of that, and then I was able to breastfeed for the first week. After the children have decided no, they didn't want it. My daughter didn't take it one day. She didn't want it. My son did. But I was able to breastfeed, and I like lactated until my milk dried up around. They were born in February until my milk dried up around August.
Oh wow, that's amazing! That's really good to know, right? For people that are considering surrogacy, to know that they can still get the opportunity to breastfeed as well.
They can. It's just in small quantities, and they will have to augment with formula. And milk. Yes. So, but if you want it and you're willing to go through that rigor. Yes, it can work for you, even if it's just a week or 2 weeks. Yeah, it will work, depending on how much of the milk expression that you have. Some people are good flowers, some people are little flowers, you know. That's the word I can use. So that's how it is. So going through all the legal processes in India, the police, because surrogacy was still allowed in India then, but it was a police matter. Going to the police, registering with the police, going through all the legal process.
Okay, was that the clinic that did that for you, or?
The clinic was involved, but it was a direct thing. So you are declaring you're going. So the clinic is declaring you're going through surrogacy, and the legal person you are going to use must also declare, and then you are submitting the documentation with the police and all of that, and they're investigating, they're asking questions. But now surrogacy is not allowed in India anymore for non-resident Indians and for foreigners. So you must be a resident Indian before it is allowed, and then you go through some ethical board certification and all of that. It's a long
process. Wow, thank heavens you went back then, you know.
Yes
It was so right the time.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was. I stayed in India for 2 years, and I came back with the twins.
With twins. Oh, wow. You must have been go ahead. So relieved that finally, right, after all those surgeries, the kind of experience you had, you know,
it was,
the what happened after the fibroid surgery, just the whole process.
Oh, dear. The day they were born, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was just crying. I was overwhelmed.
I'm sure.
I was at long last. 13
yes.
years.
It
took 13 years. And then coming back home to Nigeria, and then initially I didn't want to share my story. I'm a very private person. I don't like anybody prying into, you know,
your business,
students staying with me, you know. And fortunately for me, I had not been in Nigeria for 2 years, so nobody would have known what happened.
What actually happened,
It was too easy to keep quiet. And
you didn't even have to say anything. Yeah, you didn't have to say anything, right? Because,
you know, but I decided I was compelled to speak. So I tell people that I was compelled by the Lord to speak, because I realized a lot of people needed to know that there are different options, and they don't need to wait for so long before having a baby. And so I decided to speak out, and I decided to share my story, and I started by sharing my story and then helping intending parents who were facing surrogacy go through that process, helping them to search and select a surrogate mother and then manage. And then I now decided, okay, let me take it a step further. Before you even get to surrogacy stage, there are things you can do, you know, to help you conceive spontaneously, to help you conceive naturally. There are things you can do. And even if it's IVF, there are there are things you can do to make your IVF cycle work. Now, right. We know IVF is dependent largely upon God's sovereignty, but there are things you have to prepare yourself and get right. So if you do your bit, so I tell people, do your 95% and let God add his own 5% blessing.
Exactly.
So you know that it's not because you are not doing the right thing, but because it wasn't his own time.
Right.
So I started sharing my experience and talking about how people can improve their chances and maximize. And here am I today. I'm still doing the same thing 8 years down the line. This is what I do full time now. I used to be in human resource management.
Jeez.
I spent 20, almost 21 years in human resource management.
Wow. But
I'm doing this full time now and I'm so happy, I'm fulfilled, I'm relieved.
That's amazing, right? Like out of such an experience to something so beautiful is born out of that.
Yeah, and a lot of babies have been born. We have on record 44 babies. Not all of them through surrogate mothers, because a lot of our clients go ahead and get pregnant on their own and carry their baby, either through IVF or spontaneous pregnancy. A lot of them benefited from our counseling and advisory services. A lot of them benefited from our specialist partner hospitals.
Okay.
And then some from our surrogate program. And we have a lot of surrogates who are expectant already.
That's amazing.
So thank you. So like you said at the beginning, I've put my experience in a book called Mom at Last.
Mom at Last, yes. And how can people buy that book?
It's available in Lagos. It will soon be on Amazon and some other digital sites, but it's available in Lagos. My office is in Ikeja, anyone can send me an email, info@preciousconceptions.com,
or my
phone number. I'm sure you'll put all of that.
I'll put all that in your information.
They will get the book. They will get
okay.
The book
that's easily, wonderful.
Easily, and apart from that, I put together an online course.
Okay.
Teaching intending families how they can identify, improve, and maximize their conception chances. So for me, the key is education.
Right.
Get the information you need. Get the education you need. Be armed to fight this thing and fight it from a position of information rather from a position of defense. So exactly. You are actively fighting and you're putting your best foot forward and you know you've given it your best shot.
That's wonderful.
So that is my drive. Education is my own drive.
Yes.
Get the information, get the knowledge, and you get it right.
And that's wonderful. Like you said, it's actually very important to be empowered with education to know exactly what you need to do. Because you said in your own case, you were also told by the doctor in India that you had PCOS and you used basically diet, vitamins, supplements to be able to reverse that. So is that part of what you do in your Precious Conceptions as well, letting people know how to take care of themselves and eat
to
right?
Take care of them. Yes.
Right. Okay. Because
things to eat, things to omit from your diet, things you have to omit, things you have to eat, the exercises you have to do, the sort of food you need to eat. So it's an intense program. Your attitude, your faith, your expectations, managing emotions, relationships, all of those things.
That's wonderful. And it's good how you're doing that because really it's important, like you said, put in all your best, do what you eat right, do all you can do as a person. And then if that doesn't work, then you, of course, go to the fertility doctor, see what can be done for you. If you're able to do IVF, you proceed. If you need a surrogate, you proceed. So it's good how you let people know all the options, right? So people don't sit there, like for example, like in your case, you were already told that you needed a surrogate. You didn't say, no, I'm not going to use a surrogate. I'm going to keep trying anyway, right? You did what you needed to do and you also proceeded with the options based
the
on
program.
Based on your own your current situation, which is wonderful.
Yes because everybody has an advantage. So you hear me. I'm the only person that says advantage in the fertility space.
I was going to ask you what do you mean by that?
everybody, everybody has an advantage. An advantage is what you have that is going right for you.
For you. Wow.
That can, that can tilt your treatment towards your favor.
Wow.
Okay. And everybody has something they need to improve on.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to recognize your advantage and you have to recognize where you are deficient. So you can improve on that. Right. So you are improving on your deficiency, you are maximizing your advantage.
Wow, I love that. Because sometimes in infertility, sometimes we focus so much on everything we don't have. And
exactly. But right. You have something. So yes. In my case, I didn't have a uterus.
Right.
But I had something. I had my egg. I had the sperm. But it was deficient. So I needed to improve on that. On it. So my advantage was surrogacy.
Wow.
Surrogacy was perfect for me. That was my advantage. Yeah. But I had a deficiency. My egg wasn't mature. So how can I improve on that deficiency? And I needed to reverse that PCOS. So once you know what your deficiency is and you identify your advantage and you connect them with the right
together,
most often you get it. You get it right.
Wow. That's amazing. And it's a good way to look at things. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I never actually looked at it that way. Mm-hmm. So this is wonderful what you said to us so far and sharing your experience, of course. But I wanted to know, because, I mean, 13 years was a pretty long time. In that time, did you find support from family or friends? Or, I mean, back then, I'm not even sure people were really on Instagram or social media anyway, rather. So how did you find support? Did you find it with friends and family, or what was your experience of that babies came?
Okay, so my family and my in-laws, they are fantastic people.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
They are supportive. Yeah, sometimes they at some point they got anxious and they were like, what's going on? Are you guys not trying or what was because we didn't tell anyone what was going on because we didn't know what was going on. For a long time we didn't know. It was just fibroids I was battling with, and I had taken the fibroids. So we initially used to tell them, I have fibroids, but the doctor said it's not disturbing and it will go
right.
And we've seen instances where people had fibroids and they had plenty of children
of course.
So they were like, so it will go, it will happen, until I now decided, I'm going to go through fibroid surgery, and then everything went haywire. So from that moment, they were more concerned. They were like, let's consider IVF, let's do this. But I didn't open up to them until I had that until 2009 when I had Asherman syndrome.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't open up because it was something I was struggling with. I was struggling with not being able to do this on my own, and I wasn't ready to talk about it. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle their questions. I didn't know what to tell them. So for a long time, I will just remove myself from family gatherings.
Yeah,
and places where I knew people would ask me what's going on, so you won't just find me there. Right. And if there were occasions I had to attend compulsorily, I would go, but I wouldn't really be too friendly.
Exactly, so people don't get comfortable and ask questions. So
don't just get too comfortable. But at 2000, when I had that first surgery in 2009, and I realized what I was up against was a lot. I needed to confide in family. So we spoke with them one-on-one, not formally, but it happened, and we opened up gradually, and we had to let them know, we are now facing serious matters, IVF, surrogacy. And they were very supportive.
That's wonderful. That's so helpful.
They were they were very, very always encouraging, always praying, always contributing money, always, always calling. When I was in India, they were constantly calling. I didn't have a day where nobody called.
Amazing.
Calling to check up. And after we had the twins, they were still constantly so around.
That's wonderful.
Reaching out to other people outside family, a few friends knew. I'm not the very friendly type, so I have a very few
circle of friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very few. I can count on one hand. You mm-hmm. know? So I'm a keeper. Once I'm a friend, I'm a keeper. My best friend, we've been friends since 1990. That's
30 years. So that's family. I'm that's like not that. A friend. Yeah.
That's family, you know. So yeah. I confided in my best friend and mm-hmm. a few close ones to my husband that you know genuinely wanted to know. And they didn't understand at first why we would be that intense, you know, go through such
so much treatment right.
and not adopt. But because some of them asked me, why not adopt? And I was like, look, I still have the opportunity of being a biological mother to right. some children. So let me explore that as best as I can. Mm-hmm. Then I don't have any qualms about adopting. I don't have any reservation. But I right. know I have that opportunity, that chance. Let me pursue it. If it doesn't work for me, then I can come back and adopt.
Exactly.
You know, so for some people, they didn't understand it. And unfortunately, I lost friends.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I lost friends who didn't understand what we were doing and who felt
they should just adopt and not go through all of that.
Adopt and, yeah. and you're wasting time. And so I had to cut off. You know, and I don't regret it till today.
That's right.
But today they see the children and they're like, wow, you're strong. Because some of them now hear my story
yeah.
and they're like, yeah, so you went through all of this and you could not. I said, how can I share? I was near depression myself. How do I talk
about sure, 13 like years and all the things you went yeah. through. Wow.
You know. But even then, you wouldn't see me and think I was going through hell.
Really?
I would still laugh okay. and that. No, you wouldn't see it on me at all, not on my face.
And so you were still getting things done, you were still busy.
Yes, yeah. I was still working and people will ask me, Madam, how are you? How are your children? I'll say, they're fine. How many are there? Nine. I have nine.
That's fate, right? That's the way
nine.
To be.
I have nine children.
Wow. You
know? So, and at some point, I shared the names of my children with family members. I told them their names. And we formed songs and we would sing for them. And my niece would back one imaginary baby. We would be backing baby and singing and dancing. It was such fun, you know.
Yeah,
all of them demonstrated faith
with you, yes.
All of them. They didn't discourage me. They didn't say, no, this is too high. You know, you can't attain this. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
No. So once I told them this is my direction, they all followed and agreed with me. And we prayed those babies yeah. to life.
Yeah. And here they are today. Thank God. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah,
such a beautiful yeah. story. And of course, you know, with your book and with you doing so many interviews, I remember even seeing saw an interview with you and your husband talking about how people were asking and he was so supportive throughout the whole process. Yeah. And that's very important. Yeah. I mean, your family is great, but even also having your partner, your husband, being also mm-hmm. supportive and being willing mm-hmm. to you know, to try out all the things you did, that mm-hmm. must have been pretty amazing as well. And
yes, very they helpful. Are fantastic people. They are truly fantastic yes. people. I'm blessed to
in many
to have
ways
them as my in-laws. Yes,
yes in many ways.
I don't see them as my in-laws. I see them as my siblings, as my family.
Siblings and
yeah.
your family. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So now talking more about surrogacy, which is part of the services you offer. Of course, you said your precious conceptions. Your agency offers a whole lot. In terms of helping intending couples to have children, and you have hospitals that you work with, you also so people can contact you about this. So we'll put all the information about how to contact you and how to register mm-hmm. for courses. Do you have any mm-hmm. courses starting up anytime soon? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we started one yesterday,
okay.
And the next it's a 30-day program. It's all online.
Okay, in this month of June. Okay.
June, yes. So they will end June 15. I mean, July 15, and another class will start July 20. So anyone who wants to be a part of it can join the waiting list.
Okay.
So I'll put out the info. Because we started yesterday, I had not put out the info. But now that we've taken off, I can put out that
the information. Info.
So it's a family building consultancy. So for people who can conceive spontaneously in their bedrooms, yes, there is help.
Right.
For people who need some form of medication, there is help. For people who do not believe in IVF, because see, it's not everyone that believes in IVF.
Yes, I hear that a lot. Yeah,
because of religious persuasions and cold.
And
they have that advantage. So there's natural fertility and the method they use is Naprotec.
What's that?
So so we have Naprotecnologists who are trained gynecologists who are doctors, but they have their own technology called Naprotec. Just like those that believe in IVF have IVF as their assisted conception treatment. They also have their own treatment, Naprotec. So they work with people who have tubal issues, people who have ovulation disorders, people who have uterine issues, and they have their own surgical methods of repairing damage and clearing out the tubes and all of that. And particularly for people who have ovulation disorders, they can work with you to reestablish your ovulation and help time intercourse, you know.
That's why
and they are here in Lagos.
That's great.
So we work with them, you understand. So and if you want to delay conception and you do not want to go through contraception, yes, you need those people, because they will teach you how to understand your body language, when to avoid sex, when to time your intercourse, and you will understand it. They will handhold and you understand. So we work with them.
Okay, and that's wonderful.
We work with the IVF specialists. We work with urologists for male sexual men, health disorders. Yes, and we work with gynecologists, people who want to go through fibroid surgery and co. And then we offer our family building options like donor eggs management, surrogate management. So it's a holistic consultancy. I'm sitting right in the middle of this.
That's amazing, and you've experienced it. You're so well experienced, you know. You've done so much, and it's always good sometimes, you know, when you want to go for all this treatment or a consultancy, to speak to someone that actually understands, someone that's also dealt with infertility before, right? Because it feels like the person gets what you're saying and gets how you feel. I can definitely understand what's going on. That's beautiful.
So that's so many things you can offer, you can do as an intending parent. Once you identify what your disadvantage and you identify your advantage.
Yes. I really love that, the advantage and deficiency and how to work with both of them. That's pretty amazing. Yes. So the surrogates, you're able to get surrogates for people as well if they need it and all that. Okay, that's wonderful.
Several of them are pregnant now, and they're all carrying twins.
Oh wow! I love those. Oh, twins are amazing.
Surrogates give birth to twins. It's amazing.
Oh wow!
That's
beautiful. Yeah, because I think even Nigeria, people say that like Nigerians, there's certain parts I think is in Oyo or some parts of Nigeria that they have a lot of. Twins. So hey, your surrogates do a lot of, give birth to a lot of twins as well. That's beautiful.
So yes, we do that. We help, we provide surrogate services, surrogate management services.
That's wonderful.
And once you talk with us, yes, we'll let you know what's on the table.
What's available. That's perfect. Thank you so much. This has been so informative. It's really, such a beautiful story. I teared up at times listening to you and just thinking, wow, I don't know how you went through all that, but it's such a beautiful story. You ended up with this lovely twins. So just to ask you again, now that you know what you know, going through all that happened, what is one piece of advice you'll give to your younger self? To yourself when you had no clue about all this, even before you got married? What is advice you would have told yourself looking back?
Okay, so I think that's the comment I made, and I said that's the number one thing I would ask anyone to do, and that is, if you're trying to conceive, go and see a fertility specialist. Don't just do trial and error. Go and see a fertility specialist and get it right the first time.
First time, well said. That's beautiful. Mm. And any words of encouragement or hope for other couples dealing with infertility?
Okay, so I'm a Christian, and the Bible says none shall be barren, and that is because God is omniscient, and he has released knowledge.
Right.
And medicine is a part of science. Medicine is a part of him. We know him as the great healer.
Yes.
Okay, so whatever knowledge it is that the doctors practice all come from him. So long Thank as they're you. Going yes. to do us good. Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So doctor says, the Bible says none shall be barren. And it means there's help for everyone who desires to have a baby. So whether you're going to conceive naturally, or you're going to have assisted conception treatment,
right,
or you're going to adopt, you have the blessing of God on it.
Amen.
Because it is only God that releases life. It's only him that releases life.
Yes.
Nobody releases life. Nobody has that power to release life. It's only God. So
True.
don't despair, and don't add religious sentiments or to whatever issue that is going on. The word has said it, none shall be barren. And the True. Bible says, my word shall not come back to me void. So if
yes.
you don't take the first steps to know what you can do, are you the one voiding the word of God in your life? That is my question. Because he has said it, and it has to come to pass. So there's help every step of the way. If you need counseling, you can come to us for counseling. If you need advice, you can come to us for advice. And if you need to learn, yes, you have resources, proven resources that can help you, and you will get the help. So there's help available even in Nigeria, and we have quality treatment even in Nigeria. You don't really need to go abroad. I went abroad because at that point in time, nobody was talking about my issue. So
exactly.
I had to get help abroad. But now I've made a lot of noise.
Now you're here. Now you know what you've
and a lot of people are doing it. They're just doing it codedly, like
Nigerians say. Quietly, yes, of course.
There is help once you can get the right source. There is help. Don't need to be afraid. One surrogate will run away with my baby.
Yeah, that's always a question sometimes.
Once you go to the right source and you are honest, you will get a honest surrogate. But if you decide to cut corners, you are shooting yourself in the leg. Yeah. So there's help. That is the long and short of it. And none shall be barren. So my desire is everyone I come in contact with, either you hear my voice or you see me or you read anything from me, you must have at least one baby. That's my desire.
Amen. That's wonderful. Well said. Very well said. Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you for coming on
Thank
the show
you.
Today. It's been beautiful. It's been really amazing speaking with you. So
Thank
impactful.
You.
I've learned so much, and I'm sure all the listeners have heard so much as well. So thanks for
Thank
sharing
you
your story. And of course, people that want to connect with you, please contact her on Instagram at Tony Lolu Ogumade. Again, I'll have the details of this on the summary of this episode. You can also contact her by email. She provided the email address earlier. Do you want to repeat that, please?
Yes. Info at preciousconceptions.com. Info,
okay.
I-N-F-O.
Right.
At preciousconceptions.com.
Okay, that's wonderful. I'll also put that in the summary of this episode. And of
Thank
course,
you
can connect with her. Precious Conceptions, they offer a lot of services that can help you. Do connect with them. They also have a course that they do for intending couples. So thank you so much, Tony, for coming again today. And
Thank
do have
you.
A wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Fertility Conversations podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Fertility Conversations. If there are any topics you would like to have discussed, please send an email to fertilityconversations@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Thank you again for listening. take care of yourself, and do stay hopeful.